Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. As soon as we start to think about that next Walt Disney World or Disneyland trip, let's face it, we all start worrying about, you know, what can go wrong. You know, could there be bad weather? Could we have some issues with our hotel room view that we get or something like that? But one thing you don't have to worry about, you don't have to sweat at all, is waiting in lines for attractions on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. With a premium subscription to touringplans.com, you have insurance against the crowds because it's going to give you the information you need to plan the best day to go to each of the Disney theme parks. And while you're in the theme parks those days, you'll have access to the optimizer right there on your smartphone, which is going to give you the optimal way to see the attractions you are most interested in the least amount of time. It is a great insurance policy against the crowds, and it's going to make your next Disney vacation awesome. Check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 784 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and let's kick off the Thanksgiving week by talking some Disney and taking a trip report back from last month down to Walt Disney World with a great friend of the show, Mark in Indianapolis. Happy Monday, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on the show, and any big plans for Thanksgiving later this week?
We're going to have my whole family over to the house, so that should be pretty exciting.
All right. Well, best wishes and happy Thanksgiving early. Can't wait to talk Disney today, and you know, people will be traveling over the river and through the woods this week, and maybe as they're listening to today's show. So safe travels to everybody, and let's talk a little Disney, because most of us aren't going to be there over the Thanksgiving holiday this weekend, but we can go back virtually today. So I know you went back in October, about this time last month. So tell us about your family, who you traveled with, and where you stayed, and all that good stuff.
Well, I have my wife and I have two girls. My youngest's name is Katie, and she's 6, and my oldest is Abby, and she's 9. And it was the four of us. This is our 5th trip since my oldest was born, and the first time that we went, just the four of us. So it was kind of exciting to do it on our own.
Well, that's kind of like the perfect age too for the girls for Disney. You know, I mean, I'm 40. You know, I'll be 41 on Thursday on Thanksgiving, but I say 41's the perfect age because I love going down. But you know, 6 and 9, that's right in the wheelhouse of everything that's happening down there.
Yes, it sure is. My youngest, the only ride she was not able to ride because of height was the Rock and Roller Coaster. So it certainly made it a little bit more fun. Didn't have to do a whole lot of rider swap.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are shocked by that, you know, especially folks that I talk to that have either never been to Walt Disney World or kind of went down blindly and don't know a lot of what's happening and what to do to make your vacation great. It's that, you know, they think a lot of, I think they compare it to like their Six Flags kind of theme parks where there's so many things that are off, you know, that are off the radar until maybe you're a preteen or a teenager. And, you know, down at Walt Disney World, there's so many attractions that, you know, even 6 and 9 year olds are tall enough to do that may surprise you. I found that with Mallory recently.
Yeah, it's pretty neat that everyone can enjoy things together when they're the right age.
That's right. All right. So where'd you guys stay on this trip?
We stayed at Pop Century. It's kind of our go-to resort. We're kind of commando when it comes to our touring plans. So my joke is always I just need a bed and a shower. We had considered staying at Port Orleans, but it came down to length of stay. We would have had to stay a few days less if we went to Port Orleans. So we decided that quantity over quality was the way to go, and that's kind of a joke too, because I think as far as quality goes, I really like Pop Century. They seem to do a good job. The cast members there are always fantastic, and the rooms are always clean. And it always, to me, it seems like the drive time on the bus from Pop Century isn't bad for really any of the parks. So.
No, I agree. It has a great location, very centrally located, and I like that consideration of, you know, can we add on a couple days if we go at the value that we enjoy anyhow, rather than moving up to a moderate. That's a great thing, because people always ask, well, when should I decide to go here? When should I decide to go there? But that's a great argument right there to say, hey, we could do two or three extra days, you know, and like you said, if you're asleep or if you're just taking a shower, what's the point anyway?
Yeah.
Good stuff. So now, do you guys have a particular decade that you like at Pop Century better than any of the rest? Because it sounds like you've been there before, and I think people kind of have their favorites at Pop Century.
Not really. We were in the over in the 80s this time, and we've stayed in the 50s and the 60s before. I think they're all really well themed. This time we're kind of looking to try and get someplace as close to the bus stops without having to pay extra money. And so we ended up over the 80s and fairly close to where the bus stops are at. But now the pools, on the other hand, we do have our favorite pools. The Hippie Dippy, as far as my girls are concerned, you can't beat that pool.
Yeah, you're right. It's right there in the middle of the action, and it's got the spraying flowers, and there's always the kind of a pool host there that plays the games with the kids. Mallory's really big into that, you know, nowadays, and it's just you want to kind of be at the heartbeat of the resort, and that's a great place to be.
Yes, sure is.
All right, so you were over in the 80s now. Tell us about, you know, using other things around the resort. Like, did you guys have any meals in the food court, or did you enjoy any of the shopping at Everything Pop? Because I think that stuff's underrated at Pop Century.
Yeah, we this time we didn't do very much eating at the food court there. We were on the dining plan, and we were really trying to maximize our use of that. The only meals that we ate there were breakfast, and we kind of split them up. But we did spend quite a bit of time in the gift shop and quite a bit of money. but yeah, I think theming for both is really good, and they seem to have a pretty good variety in the gift shop, a little bit of something for everybody, so that's always a good time.
Yeah, I agree. It's not small by any means. It's a pretty large little gift shop there, but they do have a wide variety of items and unique stuff, you know, and actually, you know, some stuff that's unique to Pop Century, which we're seeing more of that lately, but we, you know, there was a stretch there where we never found that, so great place to check out if you've never done that.
I also like how the spacing of it's you don't feel cramped and like you're bumping into the other guests. It's really open, the layout. You don't really feel as crowded at the gift shop there. I appreciate that a lot about Pop Century.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of that cut through between you know, the check-in and the food court there, but it's spread. I agree with you, and I actually, one of my tips is, you know, if as long as you're not getting in at the crazy hours of the night, is I like to cut through the gift shop on the way back to my room when the bus drops you off. Just, you know, it's just kind of fun to pass through and see what's going on, you know, because it's the next door's, you know, the main cut through there. But I enjoy just cutting through the gift shop.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into the theme park. So you guys spent some time there. So how did you go about deciding where you're going to go, when, and, you know, walk us through some highlights of your time in the parks?
So, when I use touringplans.com to generate our touring plans, I always use a customized plan, because I'm a bit of a control freak when it comes to our vacation time. And you know, I start with looking at our dining and when we can get reservations, and then kind of build from there. We flew in on, it was Columbus Day, and we were able to get an early enough flight that we were at Pop Century by 10:30, and we made it to Hollywood Studios by 11. On our touring plan, I had the timing off just a little bit. We got there a little bit later than I was hoping for. But one of the nice things about the way we do our plan is that I've got about an hour of free time built in later in the day, so that if we need to, we can catch up. It was quite a bit more crowded than I had expected. I knew it was a holiday, and I knew that means the crowd would be bigger, but I was looking at the crowd calendar, and it ended up being a little bit busier than they had had projected. Unfortunately, we'd gotten some good fast passes, and it really didn't slow us down. We probably shouldn't have planned as much to do on the first day, just, you know, with the craziness of, you know, hopping a flight and getting all your luggage where it needs to be, but it still ended up being a pretty good day. Our biggest mistake that day, though, was doing tower pair first. My 6-year-old is she's an adrenaline junkie, but she doesn't like loud noises, and we found out she didn't like the dark so much. I had no problem getting her on the ride, but she wasn't real happy about during the ride. And what the problem that caused for us later was that every time we were getting ready to go on a ride, she didn't want to ride just because she thought, oh, it's going to be like that first ride. So the first couple of days took a lot of coaxing to get on any ride. You know, I never thought that I would ever have a problem getting a kid to go on a Small World. but when you ride Tower Terror first and it scares the heck out of her, yeah, that becomes a problem. So
that's a good tip.
After a couple of days, she was good to go, and we had a pretty good time.
Well, I like that as a tip, too, because the thing is, like, you know, Tower of Terror is going to be there, so maybe ease, you know, like, work from small to big instead of going, you know, right. I wouldn't have thought about that. I would have done the exact same thing, but, you know, save that for day 3 or 4, maybe. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Or at least later in the day. Not the very first thing you
exactly.
Off. And, you know, I talked about before that we were going for quantity. What was really nice was that we were able to do 2 days in every park with an extra day in Magic Kingdom. So even though, like I said, we're very commando in that we open a park and close a park, at no time did we feel like if we got a little bit behind on the plan that we just messed up our vacation somehow, because we knew that we had another day that we could come back and kind of catch up on some items. So, you know, when we started a little bit late on the first day, we weren't panicked, because we knew we were going to be back on another day. So.
Yeah, when you have that luxury of time, it's so, you know, it puts your mind at ease knowing, oh, you know, like, because you never know, like, things go down, you have bad weather, and sometimes that causes attractions to go offline for a while. But when you know, like, okay, we're going to have a second day, and like you said, even at the Magic Kingdom, a third day, it really does give you the opportunity to really, you're going to get the opportunity to see everything you want to see in that kind of a scenario for the most part. And you're going to get to go back and do those things you really liked more than once. You know, it's not just a one and done type situation. So what I think we should do here, since you guys had so many days, maybe you talked about the studios. Let's hit the highlights of the other three parks, and we'll talk about your dining and some downtown Disney. So how about the Magic Kingdom? You said you had 3 days over there. So any surprises, any unexpected things happen over there?
Yeah, well, the first day that we were in Magic Kingdom was the only day that we had any problem with weather. We had a pretty good thunderstorm go through late afternoon, and that impacted us quite a bit because it popped up on us pretty quick. I have a weather app that I follow that's usually pretty accurate, and it had predicted this rain to be about an hour later than it actually came. So it kind of caught us off guard, and we ended up getting pretty wet while we tried to find some shelter. And then because it was thunder and lightning, even though it wasn't raining anymore, it took them about another hour to open the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which we had a fast pass for. But what was neat is that we ended up right under the awning of where the fast pass entrance is, and just decided, you know, we're already wet, we might as well just hang out and wait for them to open. And we got some time to talk to the cast members there, and it was a good time. They were very entertaining, and my wife seemed to think that we were very entertaining for them. So it was kind of neat to sit and talk
you
to
guys,
them. And
we
kind of added, once we got on the ride, that added, you know, suspense of, well, when are they going to open it? Kind of made it fun. And that was about the point that that my youngest wasn't worried as much about what ride are we getting on, because once she rode Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, that's her ride. She could ride that over and over again. We could probably just drop her off at Rope Drop and come pick her up at the park closing, and she'd be happy.
If only it were that easy.
Yeah. I was lucky enough that we got 3 fast passes for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, for, one for each of the days that we were there. So that was kind of a big bonus not to have to wait in line. And it was neat because we got to ride it at different points of the day, early afternoon, late afternoon, and then in the dark. So we kind of had the full gamut of the experience on that ride. Another highlight was that we had fast pass for Anna and Elsa, and we actually did that the night that we did the party. And the big shock, my girls went as Anna and Elsa, so it was neat to be able to get pictures of them with the characters that they were dressed up as. And this was our first trip to Disney World since all of Fantasyland was finished, so that was definitely a big highlight for us to be able to see something new. I really enjoyed the story time with the Belle. That was pretty neat. That's one thing that I hadn't done a whole lot of research on, so I didn't know a whole lot about it, so it was kind of neat to have some surprises there. Another big highlight, we really, really liked the Seven Seas Adventure treasure hunt there in Adventureland. I'd heard a lot about it, but didn't have a whole lot of details, and I don't want to give anything away because it was really cool not knowing exactly what was going to happen at each step along the way, and the things that did happen were really, really cool. So I would highly recommend, if anyone hasn't done that, to try it out. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, and you can actually work it into your touring plan in Adventureland. We ended up doing 3 of the different maps that they had, and that was really cool. We didn't really have an opportunity to do this. The sorcerers of the, I can't remember what exactly it's called. We got the cards, but that was the day it rained, and our cards got pretty soaked. But that looked like it was something that would be kind of cool next time we go to try out.
Yeah, it's cool they have these things that, you know, that like you can do the next time. You know, like, hey, I'm kind of curious about that, but I have something to come back for. And it's also cool that, you know, you're trying these, like you said, like the Enchanted Tales with Belle. That's a new hybrid type attraction. It's not your typical dark ride. It's not a meet and greet. It's kind of a combination of a lot of things. And like you said, the Pirate Adventure over in Adventureland, something that, unless you know what's going on, it's not something you think of. You think of roller coasters, boat rides, and stuff like that at the Magic Kingdom, where you're kind of getting into like a deeper level with your experience at the Magic Kingdom there.
Yeah. And of course, and I can't believe I even forgot about this, but another a big highlight was the new parade. The first time we watched it from Frontierland, just a little bit down from the Bear Band Jamboree. And that was probably the best location we've ever watched a parade from. In fact, we watched the Halloween parade from there, and then also watched the Main Street Electrical parade from there. And then on another day, we watched the Festival of Fantasy parade again, but I had a fast pass for that because I kind of wanted to check out what the vantage point of that was. And I ended up being right where they come out of kind of the Frontierland area, and then they pull into the hub and make the turn. So I'm a bit of a shutterfly. So it's really neat for me to be able to get pictures of them coming towards me and then a side profile too, just from the same location. I know a lot of people think it's a waste to use the fast pass for the parade. I ended up finding that it was actually kind of worth it for a couple reasons. One, that vantage point, but two, we didn't have to fight with anybody about our piece of property, so to speak, to watch the parade. So that was kind of enjoyable, too. I didn't leave watching the parade hating humanity, so that was an added bonus.
That's well said there. I can tell you, man, sometimes you got to use the elbows to just, you know, like, I've been here for 2 hours, man. Don't step on my stuff 5 minutes before the parade.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. The only negative to the location there is no cover from the sun. So if you do get a fast pass to watch the parade, make sure you put the sunscreen on before the parade starts. Otherwise, you're going to be tomato red before it's over.
Good tip. Now let me throw this in there because you know, I've been hearing on some other shows, and you know, we're all giving information the best we can, and I know that you know, I was thinking this way kind of myself, but it's not impossible to score in Anna and Elsa Fast Pass Plus Experience, nor Seven Dwarves Mine Train. And I think some people think that it is quite impossible to even get those. And it's hard, don't get me wrong. They're very much in demand. But I will say that, you know, when my 60-day window opened up over Marathon Weekend, which is a very crowded weekend, I was able to get two different Anna and Elsa Fast Passes, and I got a Seven Dwarves Mine Train for, you know, the days we're going to be in the Magic Kingdom. So it can be done, and it also, you know, you were down there during a relatively busy time, you know, early to mid-October, and, you know, it can be done. Now, how did you go about trying to get those? Were you right on at midnight? Because that's what I did, midnight. Yep. At 60 days. You know, it's time invested,
but you get what you need. I loaded up on the coffee and stayed up, and then my strategy was to try to make fast passes for the things that I knew would be hard to get first, and then everything else kind of would fall in line, and that's exactly what happened. I about fell out of my chair when I saw that I was able to get three of the Mine Train, and I got the Anna and Elsa. I also got two of the Toy Story Midway Mania fast passes. And several others that I thought it might be difficult to get. And this was our first experience also with the Magic Bands and the Fast Pass. I tried really hard to not form an opinion before we went down. I listened to as many podcasts as I can, and I knew there was about as many opinions as there were stars in the sky. And I was really glad that I didn't form opinion before I went down, because it ended up being a pretty enjoyable time. We really, really liked the Magic Bands, and the Fast Pass Plus seemed to really really work for us. And I think that's just because we planned it out, and I was willing to stay up late to get what we wanted. So I think once they get all the bugs that I've heard that are out there worked out, I think they've got a pretty neat system, and it seems like the sky's the limit with what they're able to do with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they're trending in the right direction, and like you said, though, it does, you know, it wasn't cool that night staying up, you know, I believe you're East Coast, so midnight for you, it was 11 o'clock Central where I'm at, but, you know, and it was a school night, but I mean, it's one of those things that I can either, you know, be a little bit tired tomorrow and really have a great time, because, you know, I'm scheduling 4 or 5 days over Marathon Weekend. I'm going to have a lot, you know, I'm going to invest. It took me 20 minutes to get these fast passes, and I was done, you know, for 5 days. Where is 20 minutes worth it, you know, saving 5 hours later? In my case, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, especially when you know, as much as you're going to spend on your vacation, you know, being tired one day, but ensuring that you've got fast passes that are going to make your time there that much better. I think it's time well spent.
Yeah, well said. All right, well, let's hop over to Epcot, because your girls, you know, 6 and 9. Epcot's probably not their favorite park. I'd imagine they're more of a Magic Kingdom, if you're like kind of like my daughter. But maybe highlights there. We'll head over to Animal Kingdom and then talk some dining.
Sure. The way we did our plans for Epcot is I kind of had one day that was, you know, the front of the park, the Future World section, and one day that the focus was on World Showcase, and that worked out pretty well. My kids definitely enjoy World Showcase quite a bit. They're big fans of the test track. That was my youngest second favorite ride, and that's also a ride that if we could just drop her off in the morning and she just ride it nonstop and pick her up at the end of the day, she'd be just tickled pink with that. And the whole family enjoys Soarin'. That's another one that we had a couple fast passes for. Believe it or not, this is the first time we ever tried out Ellen's Energy Adventure, and that was enjoyable. It's kind of nice to be on a slow-moving ride for 30 minutes
or
in the middle of the day.
Of course, get you to sit down for sure.
Yes, and of course. Yeah, you got to hit Imagination at least once. Otherwise, you didn't go to Epcot. That's the way my family looks at it. But we're big fans of Figment. And then both the kids like to spend some time in the interventions. myself and both the girls are kind of pin trading nuts, and Epcot usually seems to be a good park for pin trading. Drives my wife just a little bit nuts. She doesn't like stopping. She doesn't get the pins. So Epcot's maybe not as fun for her when we're stopping all the time looking at pins. But and then the day that we were in World Showcase, that's a little bit harder for the kids. If I could change one thing at Disney World, I would probably have them take a look at finding ways to make it a little bit more enjoyable for them. Although I'm not sure adding a Frozen ride is the right direction to go either. But we did do a few things that they enjoyed. It's kind of a tradition when we're in Japan to let them pick out an oyster for a pearl.
Oh, Paige,
they really, really
too.
Enjoy that quite
yep.
a bit.
That's a tradition in our family too. Paige has done that so many times. Now it's on to Mallory. It's crazy. Like, they love the drums and the presentation.
Yeah.
I don't know where the pearls are. I don't even know if they know, but they like doing it.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out what to do with them though. We've got nice little Ziploc waggies in my wife's jewelry box of pearls, so we'll have to find something to do with them eventually.
That's it.
In our day in the World Showcase, we spent some time with the Food and Wine. It was kind of nice that we have the Disney cards, and they had that lounge for Disney Visa members. That was kind of nice to go up and air conditioning, and they had free drinks. And I did not expect this, but they had wristbands for a special viewing for Illuminations. So that was kind of nice, because I had planned on one of these or fast passes to try and secure a fast pass for Illumination. We didn't have to do that because we already had a location. And when they first handed them to us, I thought, well, this is probably not going to be the best place to view them wherever it's at. But it ended up being over in Italy, and it was probably the best place I've ever watched Illuminations from. There was nothing obstructing our view, and you pretty much see everything. So that was kind of a nice little bonus for Epcot.
Yeah, that's a premium spot usually, because they have the dessert parties there. So you know you're in a good spot when that's something that people normally pay for.
Yeah. And we were just a little bit down from the dessert party. So fortunately, we had ate ourselves silly that day, so I was not real envious of the of the dessert.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, let's head over to Animal Kingdom. So highlights from that park.
We love, of course, the Expedition Everest. I hate to say this, but I think it's really a half-day park right now, especially with all the construction walls up and half the park under construction for the new area. The first day that we went, we really just there for about 3 hours. Started off with the trucks.
Oh, the safari,
right. Sorry. We always like to do that in the morning. We've done it a couple times in the afternoon, and we always seem to see more animals in the morning. And it's a little bit more enjoyable because it's not that hot yet. We started that morning with breakfast at Tusker House. That's one of our favorite character meals. I like it because the food's a little bit different than the other character meals we go to, and it's kind of neat to see the characters in their safari outfits. So we started there, and then we did the safari and moved over to Expedition Everest, and we ended our day on that day with the Cali River Rapids, which is actually the first time that we've ridden that. My wife and I don't really enjoy getting all that wet, but the plan was to go back to the hotel and do some swimming. So I figured, well, we'll get wet and then go get wet some more. So that was kind of a neat little plan. And then the second day we were there for a little bit longer. We got there at Rope Drop and stayed till about 4. And then I have family that lives in Orlando. We met them at Downtown Disney and spent some time with them. But that day we kind of hit everything else we didn't do. Went and saw the Lion King in the new theater. That's one of our favorites. And I also enjoy the Finding Nemo musical. But the one thing I like about that park right now is doesn't have as much, I feel, attractions as the other parks, but it's kind of nice. You can take it more at a leisurely pace if you do, if you utilize FastPass and have a good plan. You don't have to be in overdrive to really get to everything done you want to do at Animal Kingdom. So that's kind of a bonus with that park. You don't really have to, you know, kill yourself.
Which is nice, because
especially as big as that park is.
That's it. That thing is huge, and if you can kind of slow down, and that's one of those that, you know, you can appreciate the pavement even. I mean, it's so themed, and you know the foliage all around, that when you're not rushing and you're actually kind of looking around and enjoying the details, that's kind of what that park's all about. And it's a mindset, like, and I like the way you did it. You know, the day you did that, you said the morning you guys were kind of in there, then you went back to the resort and swam and kind of used it as, hey, we're not going to be here for 12 hours. Let's get what we want to get done and, you know, and just kind of have fun the rest of the day and take it easy. That's a great way to, I think, for an Animal Kingdom day.
Yeah.
All right, so let's. You said you were on the dining plan, so we got to talk about that. And you mentioned Tusker House, which I agree with. I think that's a great character meal. I tend to do it a little bit different than you. We'll tend to go to Animal Kingdom at park opening, ride a few rides, schedule our breakfast ADR for around 10 so that we're super starving. You know, I'll have like a granola bar or something when I get up, and then I'm really ready for a nice meal. And like a lot of times that'll sustain me until well into the evening. You know, but there's a lot of different ways to do those character breakfasts. But, you know, what were some of the other highlights of using the dining plan for you? Any good meals?
This kind of, the whole trip, not just dining, we were trying to do things different than we've done in the past. You know, like I said, it's our fifth trip, first time by ourselves. And we consciously made the decision that we, on our dining, we weren't going to do as many character meals. As in the past, almost all of our table service, we've done character meals. And my philosophy in the past was, well, you've got to eat. And you know, with the kids, you got to stand in line to see characters. Why not kill two birds with one stone? But now that our kids are a little bit older, my wife and I kind of wanted to try some restaurants we hadn't tried. So we kind of picked our favorite character meals. On the character meals, we did Tusker House. We did the Garden Grill at Epcot, which is one of our favorites. I love the food. And we seem to get more of a personable experience with the characters because of the nature of it being a circular restaurant. They just seem to come around two or three times, so that's kind of neat. We also do Akershus in Norway. I love the food there, and to be able to see as many princesses as you can there is an added bonus, especially when you've got two girls. If you have two boys, I wouldn't recommend doing that one. That may not have the same experience.
No, I don't think so.
And then we did 1900 Park Fair for dinner the night that we went to the Halloween party. We've done that in the past and loved it. The food's pretty good. And when we've done it in the past, you know, the stepsisters were absolutely phenomenal, which is one of the reasons that we picked that one again. Unfortunately, they weren't there this time. They had a couple of Cinderella's mice there instead, which on one hand was kind of cool because you don't get to see or interact with them very often. But on the other hand, we were a little bit disappointed because we were looking forward to the interaction with the stepsisters. But unfortunately, they didn't have them because of the soiree. But I won't go into that too much. That's a little bit of a sore subject with me right now. But that was all the character meals we did. For other table services, we did Caponito for the first time. And that was really, 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 really awesome. The food was phenomenal, but the interaction with the cast members was really cool. You know, everybody's got, you know, Japanese steakhouses, you know, in their backyard, I'm sure. And they're fun, but this was neat because each one of them introduced who they were, and they bow, and then of course we bowed back, and they kind of got a kick out of that. You could tell that they don't get that from everybody, and so that was kind of neat. We got an early, right when they opened, when we got in there, and we pretty much almost had the place to ourselves, which was kind of nice. Didn't have to wait at all to get in. So that was kind of cool. We also did Coral Reef for the first time. And that was also, we did that for lunch and was one of the first ones in. So we were able to get a table right by the aquarium, which was really, really neat and kind of surreal as you're eating fish and there's fish swimming right by your table. That was kind of funny. But I really, really liked the food. I kind of heard mixed reviews about that restaurant, but our experience was phenomenal. We had a real good waiter. The food was all excellent. The desserts were really, really good. We got the chocolate wave, which was very decadent. It probably took years off my life, but it was worth it.
That's Disney.
I'm trying to think. We did a lunch at Liberty Tree Tavern. We originally had a dinner scheduled for Ohana's, but after hearing about all the construction, we decided not to go there. We love the food there, but I think what really makes it even better is the ambiance of the Polynesian, and knowing that it was probably not going to be as good, we just decided instead of taking away time at the park, we would do Liberty Tree Tree instead. The food was all right. We'd been there for dinner several years ago when it was a character meal. The lunch was okay, but the dessert made up for it being just okay. We got the ooey gooey toffee cake, and that one definitely took years off of our life, but it was definitely worth it. I took pictures and posted it on Facebook, and I've got friends that are still mad at me for showing that to them. But all in all, our table services, I don't think we had a bad meal. We still may have a little indigestion. We ate so much, but it was a good time. And then our counter services, we were able to get a fast pass for beer guest. That was probably one of our favorite meals. The detail in that restaurant is just unbelievable. And for being a table or a counter service meal, the food was amazing. And we tried the great stuff, and it was delicious. But a couple of the other cupcakes were even better.
Yes.
So I highly encourage, if you're going to go there, definitely get a good sampling of desserts. But it was really neat. Next time we go, we'll probably try and get a reservation there for the table service. But the counter service is definitely worth it, especially if you're able to get the fast pass. That was really neat how that worked, to be able to order before we got there. That was kind of neat. We probably were at our table for maybe 2 minutes before our food was there. That was kind of cool. And then, for the rest of our counter services, we pretty much hit all the standard. We did Pecos Bills, Columbia Harbor House as one of our favorites. At Animal Kingdom, we did the counter service for Yak and Yeti. That was really good. My oldest daughter really, really liked that a lot. She got the fried rice, and that's all she's talked about. She's been trying to get my wife to make the chicken fried rice ever since we got back. So that was kind of neat. We didn't do any counter service at Epcot because we had all table service meals there, but we did try the croissant donut. That was pretty good. I don't know if you've had a chance to try that yet or not,
no.
But I highly recommend it.
I've been meaning to get that the last two times down, and I never did. So, yeah, in January after the marathon, I'm getting a cronut or whatever. I know it's called a croissant donut down there, but whatever. I'm getting one.
Yeah, cronut is what we like calling it, that too. It's a little bit easier and sounds a little bit more decadent. But the only thing that I would change on it is they need to serve it with some chocolate sauce.
Oh, man.
if they did that, it'd be... They could probably charge another $2 for it.
Don't tell them that. They listen.
And with food and wine going on, we used a lot of our snack credits there. If I would change one thing that we did with our dining, would have been not to have as many table services that we did at Epcot. Because our last day at Epcot, we'd saved up a ton of tax credits and we're going through the food and wine. By the time we made it to dinner, that was the only thing that really wasn't enjoyable about the Garden Grill, was that we weren't hungry when we got there. But my wife tried escargot for the first time, and she really liked that. And we just kind of had a sampling along the way. I like the Food and Wine Festival, but I think it's time they need to look at limiting the amount of alcohol they serve. I know that Disney World's for everyone, and especially Epcot, but when you've got people going through with about 20 drinks listed on the back of their T-shirt, and they're checking off as they go, and they're stumbling through the park, and have a slew of obscenities coming out, I think it's time for Disney to take a look at that. I mean, I know they're making a ton of money with it, but I don't think that's what they're going for. I might be wrong, but
no,
it seemed to be more of a frat party than a festival.
No, I totally agree. Because the audience is, of course, it's adults, having a good time. But I will say this year they moved to the smaller servings on the beers, which I'm behind, because it's a festival, it's a sampling, is what it's supposed to be. But you're right. I mean, a lot of people have 20 of those little 4-ouncers, and you get wiped out. So yeah, I wish people would do this festival in moderation if they could.
Yeah, but that's
hard to police, though.
People are people.
That's it. I mean, that's society nowadays, It's hard to police those things, and, something should, something shouldn't. But I agree, the atmosphere can get a little crazy. That's why I tend to go, right as the festival opens, and we're out of there by like 4 o'clock in the evening. We're somewhere else, because it gets to be too much for me.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have just a couple minutes left, and we're running a little bit long today, but let me ask you this, because it sounds like you guys had a great trip, early to mid-October. Festivals, Food and Wine Festival going on, Halloween party, Columbus Day holiday, lots going on. But any been there, done that tips for our audience that might help them plan a better Disney vacation, especially maybe if they have a couple of girls?
Well, I get a lot of people here where I live that ask me for help planning, because I'm kind of the resident Disney nerd in our area. And the first thing I always tell them is, well, there's tons of podcasts, go listen to podcasts. And then there's tons of websites. And what I usually recommend is listen to the podcast first. When you hear them talk about a podcast or a website like Touring Plans, that's your first hint that that's a website, that you should go check out. But the biggest thing that I can say is just plan. It amazes me how many people, as you're walking through the park, that you can clearly tell had no plan whatsoever of what they were going to do. Have no, didn't know what to expect. And I hear a couple times someone say, "I'm over this. We're never doing this again." And I'm willing to bet 99% of those people didn't have any plan. They just bought tickets and said, "Okay, we're going to Disney World." And you can do that for those people that know it. Six Flags or Kings Island, that you can do that at a place like that. But Disney World's a whole other beast. I think on a travel show, I once heard a Imagineer say that when you're going to Disney, you need a good plan or a full frontal lobotomy. And I true words have never been spoken. And then definitely pay attention to the time of year you're going. As I said before, this is kind of we were trying to do things differently than we'd ever done before. And one of the things that was different was the first time that we'd ever been disappointed at Disney World. And we ran into some issues with the Halloween party that didn't live up to our expectations. We'd done the Halloween party twice before and had amazing time. Well, we did it in September, or in early September. And I didn't, the thought had not crossed my mind that it was going to be a different experience being in the middle of October, and it certainly was. The crowds were crazy. Now, I will say this, though. Disney is also doing things a little bit different that changes the experience, too. So, part of that, shame on me for not paying attention to where we're going, but a lot of it, I think, was shame on Disney for kind of losing sight of how to do things the way they've done it in the past. But definitely look and be prepared for it to be crowded if you're going at a time that's busier. And then just know the layout of the parks, and don't be afraid to talk to people. But one of the biggest assets for me was having a podcast that had call-in programs where you could call and talk to people who've done it before. You know, you read stuff on a computer screen and it kind of makes sense, but to be able to talk to someone else who and be able to ask a question and then ask a follow-up question is immensely important and I think beneficial. And then the flip side of that is when you're listening to podcasts, don't form your opinions based on other people's opinions.
Agreed.
I have about 4 podcasts that I love dearly, but only one of the podcasts I listen to do you not hear as much negativity or strong opinions, and that's your podcast. You know, you guys, I think, do a great job of telling people what to expect and giving great ideas, but I don't think I've ever heard you once make it sound like your opinions were the end-all, be-all, and I think some of the other podcasts out there sometimes fall into that trap of doing that, and those particular podcasts, it seems like their people on them spend a whole lot of time at Disney World, and I think it's real easy to kind of get that jaded vibe. So be careful when you're listening to other people. Don't automatically think that their cynicism is means that Disney World's not an awesome place, because if you do it right, it is one of the coolest places in the whole world, especially if you have kids. So.
Oh, and I appreciate those kind words, and we are, you know, I'm just like you, you know, and I'm just like our listeners that I don't get to go near often enough, and I sacrifice a lot all year long so that I can afford to take my family, because it's never cheap, and, you know, it's still so much fun to go under those gates and to walk down Main Street USA and to, you know, see Spaceship Earth for the first time and all that great stuff, you know, and the uniquely Disney experiences we have. But I think the best part of this whole show that you just said is, you know, immerse yourself in podcasts and websites and blogs and, you know, load up your Zeit with Disney sites on your iPad, you know, so you go to bed every night reading everything you want to know, but save your opinion till it's yours, because, you know, I have some things that I really, really like. You know, I do like Captain EO. I know 95% of the people don't like it, and it doesn't bother me. You know, it's just that's like, I grew up in that time where Thriller came out, and I remember seeing it at the skating rink, and I grew up DJing at a skating rink. So I have a unique perspective of that attraction, which is odd and weird and probably wrong, but I enjoy it, you know, and I want our listeners to enjoy the stuff they enjoy. And if we like different things, that's how the world should be, really. If we like different things, hey man, that just makes us all better, you know. So I appreciate,
you know,
that
Stitch's Greatest Days gets bagged on so much by so many people, but that honestly ended up being one of the fun attractions we went on, because afterwards my 6-year-old has been acting it out. She'll come up and pat on the top of our head and whisper and tickle our neck and then belch in our face. And it's the funniest thing in the whole world. And, you know, everybody else hates that ride. But, man, if you just kind of go in it with a clear head and an open heart, it can be one of your favorite attractions. So.
Oh, man. I better not let Mallory go on that anymore. I don't need any belching her out here, boy. She's she's rude enough. She's plenty rude already. Well, no, Mark, I appreciate the time you shared with us here. And like I said, I wish you guys a very happy Thanksgiving. And thanks for starting the week off the right way by talking some Disney with us.
No problem. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. All right, don't forget, and Mark talked about it during the show today, touringplans.com. Going to always steer you in the right direction so you can avoid the crowds on your next Disney vacation. Hey, going to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, they can help you out on both coasts. And also, one other thing I want to steer you towards this week, maybe you have a little free time, maybe you're off work on Friday and just kind of chilling, go to blog.touringplans.com. Every day they post new articles. Ricky's one of their bloggers and posts almost daily over there with just resources to help you plan a better Disney vacation. And that's absolutely free. You don't have to subscribe or anything. So check them out today. Lots going on over at touringplans.com. Join us for the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show coming your way on Sunday night, December 21st. That's right, the week of Christmas. We're going to get together and take your calls and talk Disney again Sunday night, September. Oh, I'm forgetting. December 21st, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there on Magical Mouse Radio. And don't forget, Magical Mouse Radio plays the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And we are just 3 days away from the holiday audio kicking in for 2014. So join us starting on Thanksgiving as we play the great mix and the great tracks from Walt Disney World during the holidays. That's going to start on Thursday, so join us, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're at BeOurGuestMike on Twitter. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And over there, you can get in on the Christmas card exchange as well as the ornament exchange. Lots of fun to interact with the other listeners of the show and spread some of that Disney magic all around the world. So drop by the forums today. Also, don't forget you can download our free podcast app. You can listen to Magical Mouse Radio, listen to the podcast, get on our Facebook group, get on the forums, lots more. The app is absolutely free. It's in the iTunes App Store, and it's called the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app. So please download that today. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Thanksgiving week. Hey, wherever your travels may take you this week, please do stay safe and enjoy the time with your friends and family. And just think about all the stuff we have to be thankful for. We get to talk about going to Disney. Life is good when we can talk about that stuff. We are very, very blessed and very fortunate. So for Mark, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Thanksgiving week. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading today's show. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.